Welcome back, everybody, to another deep dive. Today, we're going to be talking about the pardon of Ross Ulbricht.
Yeah, this is a really interesting story.
It really is.
Yeah.
And it kind of feels like something out of, you know, a political thriller or something. Like, how did this even happen?
Yeah, well, for people who don't know, Ross Ulbricht was the guy behind the Silk Road.
Right, the Silk Road online marketplace.
Which was essentially like an eBay for the dark web.
Okay, so eBay, but anonymous and with Bitcoin.
Exactly. People used it to buy and sell all sorts of things, a lot of it illegal.
Drugs, weapons, you name it.
And Ulbricht was convicted and sentenced to 2 life sentences plus 40 years. Essentially a life sentence twice over.
Wow. So basically, he was never getting out.
Pretty much.
But then, out of nowhere, he gets pardoned.
By Donald Trump, of all people.
All right. That's the part that really throws you for a loop. Trump isn't exactly known for being soft on crime.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
His whole thing was law and order, remember?
Exactly. So how did this pardon even come about?
Well, that's where Angela Martle comes in.
Okay. Angela Martle.
Ah.
She was the former chair of the Libertarian National Committee, right?
That's right.
And she was really instrumental in getting this pardon to happen.
She was. And it's interesting because the libertarian perspective adds a whole other layer to this story.
Right. Because libertarians are all about individual liberty and limited government.
And they tend to be very skeptical of things like drug laws.
So for them, the Silk Road, even though it was used for illegal stuff, also represented this idea of freedom from government control.
Exactly. They saw it as like this symbol of the power of technology to bypass government restrictions.
I see. So how did Angela Martle even get involved with all this?
Well, it all started with a phone call from Rick Grenell.
Okay, Rick Grenell. He was a close friend of Trump's, right?
Right. He was part of Trump's inner circle.
And he reached out to Martle to get a better understanding of libertarian views.
Yeah, they were trying to figure out how to get libertarians on board with Trump.
And Martle saw an opportunity here.
Absolutely. She realized that this was her chance to advocate for Ulbricht's release. Yeah, she was really savvy about it. Instead of shying away from Trump, who's obviously a very polarizing figure, she saw the potential in working with him.
Even though their views didn't really line up.
Exactly. She recognized that sometimes you have to make alliances with people you don't agree with 100% in order to get things done.
To achieve a greater goal.
Exactly.
So how did she manage to get a meeting with Trump?
Well, according to Martle, she ended up having dinner with him at Mar-a-Lago.
Wow. At Mar-a-Lago. Can you imagine that dinner conversation?
No, right? It's such a weird juxtaposition. The former chair of the Libertarian National Committee having dinner with Donald Trump.
It just seems so surreal.
It really does. But Martle says that Trump was surprisingly receptive to her ideas.
Really? Not the Trump we see in the media.
Not at all. Apparently, he was very personable and actually listened to what she had to say.
Huh. So what did she say to him? How did she pitch the idea of pardoning Ulbricht?
Well, she basically argued that it would be a great way to win over libertarian support.
Okay. Makes sense.
And that it could potentially lead to a lot of political donations.
Ah, so she appealed to his business sense.
Exactly.
So did Trump know anything about Ulbricht's case before this?
Apparently not. Martle says that he seemed pretty unfamiliar with the details, but he was immediately intrigued by the idea.
Interesting. So even though he didn't know much about the case, he was willing to consider it.
Yeah, it seems like he was open to anything that could potentially benefit him politically.
And this pardon had the potential to do that.
Exactly.
So what happened next? Did Trump just agree to the pardon right there at dinner?
Not quite. It was a bit more complicated than that.
Okay, so let's unpack that. What happened next? How did this whole thing unfold from there?
Well, the next major event was the 2024 Libertarian National Convention.
Right. I remember that convention. It was a pretty wild one.
It was. And Martle made a controversial decision to invite Trump to speak at the convention.
Along with Biden and RFK Jr.
Yeah, she wanted to give the Libertarian Party more visibility.
And potentially leverage their support.
Exactly. She saw it as an opportunity to make the party a major player in the election.
But it backfired, didn't it?
In a way, the convention was a complete mess. It took 7 rounds of voting to finally choose a presidential candidate.
And they ended up nominating Chase Oliver.
Yeah.
Who wasn't exactly a strong contender.
No, he wasn't.
So Martle's plan kind of fell apart there.
Yeah, it didn't go quite as she'd hoped.
But even with all that chaos, Trump still made the pardon pledge at the convention, right?
He did, which is pretty remarkable considering how chaotic everything was.
It is.
Yeah.
So what happened between the convention and the actual pardon? Did Martle just sit back and wait?
Not at all. She was constantly working behind the scenes to make sure Trump followed through on his promise.
Okay, so she didn't just assume it would happen.
No, she was actively involved the whole time.
What kinds of things was she doing?
Well, she was staying in touch with Trump's staff, providing them with updates on Ulbricht's case, and showing them the growing support for the pardon from the libertarian community.
So basically keeping the pressure on. And then finally, after all that, the pardon came through.
36 hours after Trump's inauguration, to be precise.
Wow. And it wasn't just a commutation, it was a full pardon.
A full and unconditional pardon, which was even more than what they had initially hoped for.
So Martel achieved her goal.
She did. And it's pretty amazing when you think about it.
It really is. I mean, this woman managed to get Donald Trump to pardon someone who was serving two life sentences.
It's a testament to her strategic thinking and her ability to navigate the complexities of the political system.
No kidding. So what does this whole story tell us? What can we learn from it?
Well, I think it shows that even in a system that often feels rigged against the individual, it's still possible to make a difference.
Especially if you're willing to think outside the box and work with people you might not agree with.
Exactly. It's a reminder that sometimes the most unlikely alliances can lead to the most meaningful change.
And that even in the face of seemingly insurmountable obstacles, there's always hope.
As long as you're willing to fight for what you believe in.
I like that. And that's something we should all remember, especially here in Deer Park, LaPorte, and Pasadena.
Absolutely. We all have the power to make a difference in our community.
Even if it's just small steps.
Exactly. It all adds up.
And who knows, maybe one day we'll be talking about one of your stories on this show.
I wouldn't mind that.
I'm sure you have some amazing stories to tell. And speaking of stories, we're going to take a quick break and then come back with more on the fascinating story of Ross Ulbricht's pardon. So stay tuned.
Now, not everyone in the Libertarian Party was thrilled about Martel cozying up to Trump.
Yeah, I can imagine that.
I mean, he's not exactly the poster child for libertarian values.
Right. A lot of people saw it as a betrayal of their principles.
Exactly. They felt like she was compromising their ideals for political expediency.
And that's a tough dilemma, right?
Yeah.
Like, how do you balance your principles with the realities of the political world?
It's the age-old question, purity versus pragmatism.
Do you stick to your guns, even if it means you can't get anything done?
Correct.
Or do you compromise in order to achieve some of your goals?
It's a tough call, and there's no easy answer.
But Martel didn't back down from this criticism, did she?
No, she didn't. She actually pushed back pretty hard.
How so?
Well, she basically said that a lot of the people criticizing her had never actually done anything to advance libertarianism.
They were all talk, no action.
Exactly. She argued that real change comes from making deals, not from sitting on the sidelines and judging everyone else.
That's a good point.
It is. And it's something we should all keep in mind.
It's easy to be critical from the outside, but it's a lot harder to actually get in there and make things happen.
Absolutely. And yeah. Martel deserves credit for being willing to do the hard work.
She definitely does. So was Trump's administration actually doing anything that aligned with libertarian goals?
Well, they did make some significant budget cuts.
Which is something libertarians generally support.
Right. And they also rolled back a lot of regulations.
Another libertarian favorite.
Exactly. So while Trump might not have been a libertarian in the purest sense of the word, he did enact some policies that they agreed with.
Okay, so let's fast forward now to the days leading up to the pardon.
Yeah, the anticipation must have been killing everyone.
I bet. Especially for Ulbricht's family.
They'd been fighting for his release for years.
And for Martel, too. I mean, she'd put her reputation on the line for this.
Absolutely. If the pardon didn't come through, she would have looked pretty foolish.
Yeah, so the stakes were high for everyone involved.
They were. And to make matters worse, Trump was known for being unpredictable.
Right, he wasn't exactly the most reliable guy.
So there was always this nagging doubt that he might change his mind at the last minute.
And a lot of people were starting to get nervous.
They were. People were constantly asking Martel, is Ross free yet? Is it happening?
I bet she was getting bombarded with messages.
Oh, I'm sure. And some people even accused her of being naive for trusting Trump.
They thought she'd been played.
Yeah, but Martel never lost faith.
She is convinced that the pardon would come through.
And she was right.
So what was she doing during those final days? Was she just sitting around waiting?
No, she was working tirelessly behind the scenes.
Like what?
She was constantly in touch with Trump's team, giving them updates on Ulbricht's case and reminding them of their promise.
She was like a dog with a bone.
Exactly. She wasn't going to let them forget about Ross.
And then finally the news broke.
36 hours after Trump's inauguration.
The pardon had been granted.
A full and unconditional pardon.
It's hard to believe it actually happened.
I know, right? It's like something out of a movie.
David versus Goliath.
Exactly. This one woman took on the entire system and won.
That's pretty inspiring.
It really is. And it shows that even the most powerful institutions can be swayed by the power of persuasion.
And by the power of persistence.
Absolutely. Martle never gave up. She kept fighting until she got what she wanted.
And that's a lesson we can all learn from.
It is. We should never underestimate the power of one person to make a difference.
It's easy to get lost in the political drama of it all. But we should remember that there's a human being at the center of this story.
Right. Ross Ulbricht spent over a decade in prison.
More than a decade of his life gone.
And now he has to try to rebuild his life.
Which can't be easy.
Especially after being locked up for so long.
The world has changed so much in the past 10 years.
It has. The technology, the culture, everything's different.
Imagine trying to adjust to all that after being completely cut off from it.
It would be like stepping out of a time capsule.
Exactly. And not just the outside world, he's changed too.
Of course, trauma does that to a person.
Being in prison changes you.
It has to.
So it's going to be a long road for him.
It will. But at least he has a strong support system.
Right. His mother, Lynn, she never gave up on him.
She was a huge advocate for his release.
And she's going to be there for him every step of the way.
Which is so important.
It is. It makes a huge difference.
It really does.
You know, this whole story brings up some interesting questions about forgiveness and redemption.
It does.
Like, how do we as a society deal with people who've committed crimes?
What's the purpose of punishment?
Is it to punish or to rehabilitate?
Or both.
And how do we decide who deserves a second chance?
These are tough questions.
They are. And there are no easy answers.
Yes, there aren't.
But there are questions we need to be asking ourselves.
Especially in a country with such a high incarceration rate.
Exactly.
So what's next for Angela Martle?
Well, she's not slowing down anytime soon.
Still fighting the good fight.
She's already moved on to advocating for other people she believes have been wrongly imprisoned.
Like Julian Assange.
And Roger Ver.
She's a force to be reckoned with.
She really is. And her story is a reminder that one person can make a difference.
Absolutely.
That we don't have to just accept the status quo.
We can fight for what we believe in.
And even if we don't always win.
At least we tried.
Exactly. So let's all be a little more like Angela Martle.
And make the world a better place.
I love that.
Yeah.
And that's a great note to end on. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. If you found value in what we do, please consider supporting us at thinkandactlocally.com/donate.